Hey everyone, I'm trying to get to TwitchCon 2018 this year, but I need your help. How, you may be asking? Well, every little bit counts, and we're trying to offset the cost of travel and accommodations through donations on our Twitch channel. So for the next month, we have a goal of $1,000 that we're trying to hit. If you can, head on over to donate.gamertagradio.com to support, and hopefully I'll see you at TwitchCon.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 802. This is your host Danny, and joining us this week we have, of course, the weekly co-host of GTR, the crew. Let's go with Pete, man. What's going on, Pete?
Yo, 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 yo,
yo, yo, yo, yo.
What is up?
What's going on with you, man?
Doing good, doing good. It's been a long week. Like, just from a work perspective, I'm back at the gym, almost doing. So Paris, I need to ask you. Like, is it bad to do doubles, like meaning like going in the morning, going in the evening?
No, work out as much as you freaking want. It's your body. Your body will tell you when it's too much. If your body ain't telling you it's too much, then do it.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, what's going on? Today is Mental Health Awareness Day. And I've had a couple examples come across my way that reminded me of that. So, I will just say to everyone that is watching this on Twitch or listening to the podcast, absolutely, if you're struggling through something, don't be shy. Reach out. Reach out to someone, friends, call, whatever you need to do. Don't fight it alone, because people are out there for you. People love you. People care about you, and they want to help you.
Definitely. And also our thoughts is with the people over there in the Florida Panhandle. They just had a Hurricane Michael today. So, yeah, man, sending positive vibes to everybody over there, man. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com. Put your comments and feedback and listen to our past episodes. You can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Can I start a show with something? Can I start a show with something?
Yeah, for it, man.
Why hasn't a developer or publisher brought back GoGo 13? Do you remember that game?
Yeah, I remember
From the NES in the late 80s, Togo. It was an anime as well, but there was a game called GoGo 13, and it was like he was like a spy assassin dude or whatever. Why has no one made that game for modern day? Could you imagine a Splinter Cell type GoGo 13 or like a Hitman style GoGo 13? Why have we not done this? I'm just sitting there waiting to do the podcast, and it crossed my mind. I go, oh my God, it's been 30 years. No one's done that game. Why has no one tried that again? I think it would be amazing.
Who was the publisher for that game at that time?
It
do you remember?
It was, you asked me now, Top Secret Episode was the name of the game, and it was Vic Togai. It was a Japanese company.
Okay.
Viz Media was the English publisher.
Okay.
Well, at least for the manga, because it started off as a manga before it was actually a game.
No, I'm literally on their Wikipedia. The developer for Top Secret Episode was Vic Togai. Yeah, out of Japan.
I think we should talk about what's been going on for the past few days, man. Is it me or is it like the buzz? It all started with like Google Project Stream, and then a couple of days after that, Microsoft announced their Project X Cloud, right? We're gonna talk about it in a few minutes. But then after that, Sony now talking about hardware, PlayStation 5. They just started working on it. What's going on?
And they also announced today you can finally change your PSN ID.
Eventually, yeah, it's in beta
in 2019. Which, by the way, I don't need to because I picked the right name the first freaking time, so I don't need to change my name. How about that?
Now you're calling out everybody that got it wrong?
Yeah, everyone that said they were Blazing Dude 420, you're gonna have to change their name now because they're not 13 years old anymore and they're grown.
that's if it's still available. If somebody's got it, you're stuck with it.
I think the point is if you have one of those silly names, you want to just change it to something else, right? So I think that's the bigger issue.
Or should I remain as the Yak 4-3?
No, that stays forever. That's for life.
Well, speaking on that, just takes it way back because, you know, my name everywhere is Vicious 696, and that all originates from the Xbox Live Alpha, where I was a huge Cowboy Bebop fan at that time. I still am. And the villain of Cowboy Bebop is Vicious. So I wanted to name myself Vicious on Xbox Live. That name was not available, so I went with Vicious 696. And then it turns out, I found out, I don't know, 10, 15 years later, that was a banned name. So no one could use that name. No one's ever used Vicious on Xbox Live. So no one has ever been able to claim it. So if they would have had it allowed, I would have been Vicious back then because I would have got it in Alpha. I would be Vicious to this day. Yeah. That's the only reason I'm not Vicious. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool story there, man.
Interesting.
All right. I think it's time for my conspiracy theories. Paris calls it Danny Secrets. Danny Secrets.
I'm just imagining like X-Files in the background.
But first, we're gonna talk about Project S Cloud. First of all, what are your thoughts about the announcement from Microsoft? Because I know they teased it during E3 that you could play your Xbox games and all different devices. You don't need Xbox to actually play it. Let's go with that first, and then we'll go with the theories, my crazy conspiracy theories. But go ahead, anyone.
Is your in your conspiracy theories? What do you want me to say?
No. I'm asking your thoughts about the announcement, and then we go with it.
Oh, you mean Project Cloud? My thoughts on Project Cloud. No.
X Cloud.
Project Cloud. Whatever.
X Cloud. Get it right, damn it.
I'm not.
I don't call you Vicious 696.
Just like people disrespect me every day and can't spell my name right, take 2 seconds to see that I got two R's in my name and not one, I'm not giving you the X. How about that? So. It's true. Okay, quick story on that. Y'all were in some thread on our Discord channel. I hadn't been on Discord yesterday, and I saw where you're having this back and forth with this one guy, and he kept putting my name in there, and he kept with one R, and I so badly was going to go, dude, can't you just spell my name right? It takes 2 seconds. 2 seconds to look at what my name is. Should I misspell your name? That's what I'm going to start doing. Anytime someone says my name wrong, I'm going to misspell their name in response on purpose.
He's going to be the angry Starbucks barista,
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing that
Paris doesn't like. He doesn't like his name spelled wrong, and he doesn't like people sending him friend requests with too many X's.
Or 420s or things like that.
It's a real thing. I get my name's Paris. Obviously, there's a city in France that is spelled with one R, so I get it. But, there's other spellings of other people's names all over the place. It's a respect thing. I understand if you make a mistake once or twice, but after a while that gets freaking annoying. Look at my name.
Yeah, I guess
spell my name right. Period. That's all. Angry old man rant. But anyways, going to Project X Cloud. I'm excited for it. I actually watched that video, and I know it's a lot of PR speak and marketing speak in there. Phil Spencer was in there. A lot of other people from Microsoft was in there, was talking about their vision for it. To be quite honest with you, for me personally, it was actually very inspiring. I'd say right now, anyone at Microsoft that's watching this, hire me. I would love to be a part of that team and work on that and make that a reality. I really would. I think it's an amazing piece of tech for what they're trying to accomplish, because the big trick that OnLive wasn't able to do, Project Gaikai back in the day, which is now PlayStation Now, none of these other streaming things in the past have been able to crack the code on, is reducing the latency. because that's the big thing, reducing the latency over lower bandwidth options. And Microsoft seems to think they've cracked that code. And we'll obviously, Danny, you're already in the Google project thing, so maybe you can talk about that as well. Mm-hmm. But if that can be cracked, and I can literally play any Xbox game on any device that's connected to the internet, be it a phone, tablet, PC, whatever the case may be, that is a game changer. Will it be your primary gaming device? Probably not. But as a supplement, to be able to, I'm on the train commuting to work and I just decide I want to pull up, you know, the cloud thing and I can play a game on it. That's an amazing thing. And a lot of it's going to depend on, because I was having this talk on Twitter, in my opinion, the content, which, and I'm sure we'll get into Game Pass in a minute, that's the Trojan horse to get this thing working. It's going to be the content, it's going to be the devices that it's supported on, and most importantly, the price. How they price this thing is going to be the biggest key to this succeeding or failing, be it Microsoft, Google, PlayStation, or whoever. Right now, PlayStation is failing at that, because I absolutely think PlayStation Now is overpriced for what you get. So whatever Microsoft decides to do, whatever Google decides to do, that's going to be the biggest thing on how they price this thing out. Now, I'll just say this and I'll be quiet. I have my theory on what they should do. They should have a total subscription bundle that includes Xbox Live Gold, Game Pass, and this cloud service, $180 a year. That's $15 a month. They do that, People will buy it without hesitation, because now with Game Pass, you've unlocked all of Microsoft's library. And we're talking, they're probably going to throw in from the OG Xbox 360, Xbox One, and Scarlett games, all are in part of Game Pass. You already got your Xbox Live Gold, and now you got this cloud service as well. So I'll just say this randomly. Let's say I'm playing the new Halo. I'm playing a new Halo at home, having a good time, whatever. And then I need to hop on the train to commute to go to work, pull out my phone. I keep the party going. You see what I'm saying? That is a reality that can happen in the next few years if they truly pull this off. And to be honest, only a company like Microsoft or Google that has the infrastructure in place globally with their data centers can support something like this. And obviously with Azure Cloud, because I use Azure for work, the ability to be able to spin up these VMs in the cloud in an instant, and obviously Amazon would be another one.
Yeah.
It's a big key for them, you know, to be able to support all this kind of stuff. And if they get this working, now that we're starting 5G on your phones is starting to be a reality as well, it's possible. It is absolutely possible. I'm excited for the future of it because I'm excited about the technology of what this potentially could bring.
I'm glad you brought up 5G because I was actually at a work conference last week speaking with like the folks at Verizon and stuff like that. And there's a thing called Verizon Home. That's going to be a wireless service that comes to your home that drops a gigabit, that drops a gigabit service with 2 to 3 millisecond latency. Cellular device that functions as a router for your home that you could hardwire your desktop and do PC gaming on. That's amazing.
Well, look at what T-Mobile is planning to do. I know we're going sidetracking. They want to be your ISP, you know, because of the way 5G works and the speeds and all that. So, I mean, look, is it happening in 2018? No. But we're going to have real conversations about this in 2020 and beyond. It's going to happen.
It's going to be before that. It's 2019. This actually started. No.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I'm just saying mass adoption, the infrastructure, the whole thing. Right, but the point is, this is happening sooner than later.
And that 5G stuff starts now. Well, at least with Verizon, it does. And it's $50 a month for that Verizon Home service. Now, it's only in a few select a few select cities or whatever. So, but that is going to be the impetus for the whole streaming games business. We didn't have that infrastructure, you know, 2-3 years ago with Gaikai and OnLive. But now that 5G is a reality and it's actually serviceable and functional within the United States, you're going to see this now start to play out for the Googles and for Xbox. Curious to see, like, I know you mentioned AWS because they're the only other company that would have the infrastructure that could support this, right? Father Twitch. That is amazing. I'm curious. We know they're working on something. They have to be working on something.
Yeah.
You know,
of course.
So that, you know, they're going to have another hat to throw into the ring. Where's Sony sitting all of this? Do they care?
They care, but here's the problem. And I was having this conversation on Twitter during the week. They care. They would absolutely love PlayStation Now to mimic what Microsoft and Google is attempting to accomplish. I just don't think they have the infrastructure. That's the problem. Globally, they don't have the infrastructure to support this. And it's going to take them a while to get that built up. That's why they're doubling down on, yep, we're working on the PlayStation 5. And yep, hardware is very important because they know in the short term, they're not going to be able to compete with that. And they're going to double down on what they do best, which from a business standpoint makes sense. If they can't have a competitive price and have the cloud streaming with the low latency that their competitor is going to have, then they're not going to push it the same way that their competitor is. It just makes sense.
I know a couple of years ago, and you can listen to past episodes, I was so against the whole streaming gaming and everything. And then a couple of days ago, I just got access to Project Stream from Google, which they gave me a free copy of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Access everything, and I tried out for the first time. This was my first time actually playing a game streaming. Super easy to connect everything. It took me a couple minutes. I just plugged in my Xbox One controller to my Mac, and I was playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey for a while. No lag, nothing. And my connection isn't that great over here, to the truth. It's not that
via the browser, right?
Yeah, but I used Google Chrome,
right?
And it was good. I was like, wow, this is all awesome. And I even mentioned to you guys, this is before even Xbox announced xCloud. I was telling to you guys, man, it was like, it felt good. You know, I could see the future with this now. You know what I'm saying? So then the next day, or a couple of days later, Microsoft announced that. And I was like, yo, this is the future, man. Now thinking, the things that they're planning to do, because look, the conversation I had with Paris, and one thing that Paris mentioned to me was, he goes, yo, you know when they started all this? You know when they all started this? The release of the Xbox One S. When they released that controller for that console, that's the first controller for Xbox that has Bluetooth. So they've been working on this for years, which I think Paris was right when he mentioned that. And the reason why this is so smart is because the next gen console is not even about buying the hardware. If you think about it,
nope.
Let's think about music for example right now. When was the last time you guys actually bought an album at the store? The majority of us right now is just we're streaming music right now. We're streaming through iTunes. We're streaming through. What happened?
No, you said when the last time I bought an album at the store, it was probably like 1998, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. I swear to God, it was probably the last time I bought one.
CD? That's yeah. CD? CD? Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's funny you say that, because as soon as you said that, I actually pulled out the album that's sitting in my hands right now, and I actually bought this like 6 months ago. It's a limited release Souls of Mischief album. So it's still done.
It's a classic too.
People still do it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. But the majority of people now, especially the young crowd, what do? They just stream. And because of that change, the music industry chart-wise, they had to change. Billboard's now added streaming in there. It's not even about the sales anymore. Perfect example, too, and I mentioned this in the past, all the cable companies are struggling right now, struggling with the whole ratings, right? Why? Because people are now watching on-demand stuff or subscribing to Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, and so on. So it's not even about the ratings. Even WWE doesn't even care about the ratings anymore. It's more about subscribe to our service. And that's the focus that Microsoft is trying to do now with xCloud and Game Pass and so on. Yeah, Paris?
No. You already said it. I was just going to bring up the WWE as an example because they completely changed their business model. They are getting $1 billion from USA and Fox because they do a live show every week, because that's the only way that these broadcast networks now can guarantee to get any kind of ratings or viewership, because it's live. You don't want to watch it on DVR. You want to see the action when it actually happens. And then with WWE having the network, same as Netflix pioneered this whole thing with the subscription model. same as you now see Microsoft doing with Game Pass. It's not about how many copies are sold day one. It's about getting you to commit to that $10 a month. And I've said this a couple times with Danny offline. You know, I've been fortunate that I have Game Pass for 3 years. For the next 3 years, I have Game Pass. I don't have to spend a dime on it. I'm just fortunate to have that. I'm blessed for the support that I was given on that. But the point that I'm making by saying that is, what do you think I'm going to do at the end of those 3 years? Because during these 3 years, I'm getting Gears of War 5. I'm getting the next Halo. I'm getting probably Perfect Dark, Fable. All these exclusive games from Microsoft, I'm guaranteed to have, right? So when that 3 years is up, do you really think I'm going to go throw $60 at an individual game? No, I'm going to put $10 a month on Game Pass, because why wouldn't you? It's where it's going. And like you said, Danny, by them doing this cloud service, and like I had brought up the whole thing that if you really think about it, they've been doing baby steps ever since they put Bluetooth into the Xbox One controller. That was future-proofing that controller to not only be tied to their console, but you can use it on the PC, you can use it on any Bluetooth-enabled device. That was them future-proofing what they're trying to do to get to where they are now, because now that Xbox One controller, you do it on your iPad, do it on your iPhone, your Android device, it doesn't matter, because they knew where they were trying to go by 2020 with this cloud service. And here we are. Now you're going to be able to take Game Pass and play any of your games wherever you want, anytime you want, on any device. That's the future. It is. And I'm not saying it's the future as this is my primary way to game. Sure, some people may do that, but us as hardcore gamers, we're still going to go buy hardware. We're still going to buy the Xbox. Why wouldn't you? But now there's options. So let's say my kids are hogging the Xbox in the living room. Oh, guess what? I want to finish up that level in Gears 5. I'll just go grab my iPad and I'll finish it up there. That is going to be a reality in the next 2 years, that you're going to be able to do something like that.
And let's go even further than that. I brought up this to Paris, and this is what Paris started calling me, Daddy Secrets. I mentioned to Paris, just picture this, man. You're at home. You have your smart TV. You don't have an Xbox One. Or the next Xbox. Let's just say you don't have it. Gears of War comes out. Paris wants to play it. He still has the Bluetooth controller of the Xbox at the house. Just download the app on your smart TV. Subscribe to the service and play Gears of War on your TV without a console. He's just streaming it. Or play it on your Apple TV. And let me even go even further, man. I could see Xbox releasing an app for the Nintendo Switch, and you could also play Xbox games on the Nintendo Switch also if you sign up for the service. You think Nintendo's going to say no? You're buying their hardware. So it's going to benefit both. It's going to benefit Microsoft, and it's going to benefit also Nintendo.
You're forgetting the one thing that you said about that with Nintendo, like what could happen at E3 next year.
Oh, Phil Spencer comes out and says, hey, guys, you could play Xbox on your Nintendo Switch. That's possible. You never know. Or at the Apple press conference, Phil Spencer going on stage talks about that you could play Xbox on your Apple TV or your iPad or MacBook, whatever.
Yeah, literally an app that you download, and then you sign the app. Boom, there you go.
I could see that happening.
It's going to happen. That is 100% going to happen. We will see that in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Now, because I want to take your shine, talk about the 2019 thing you said. Because remember, at first I was against it, and then I was like, oh my God, Conspiracy Steve is right. Danny Secrets, he got it. Think about
I told Paris, I mentioned to him, every time Microsoft has a beta of anything, the Xbox Live beta. I think they also have like other projects too in the past that came out. It's always a year or less. I think that they announced this now. They're going to talk about it more on the next XO next year. And that will be the official launch November of next year. Official launch. They're going to have everything ready, Game Pass, the X Cloud, everything. And then A year after that, they release the new console,
Scarlet,
the next gen console, and they have everything available for you. You could play your old games. You could play Xbox, the original Xbox 360. You could play Game Pass. You have xCloud. You have everything ready for the next gen console. And Paris mentioned this. He said, launch this service with Gears of War next year, November.
I mean, if you think about
that
it,
that would be
if you think about
smart.
It, put doing the xCloud stuff first and then releasing the Project Scarlet stuff makes sense because you're putting the infrastructure first before you start releasing
exactly
console hardware to support it, right? So that allows them to use browsers and apps or however it is that they're going to push that out as a way to streamline and make sure that it works before they go, okay, well, here's the streaming device with the all-in-one Game Pass and Xbox Live bundled servicing that Paris went on Twitter about, which I think we all had already agreed. We think that's probably the best bet for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. And especially because they're and in a way – supporting the that lease option now for Xbox One X owners that had leaked out a couple of months ago as well, that helps them get bigger, more support for the online service as well as Game Pass and everything else. So seeing Microsoft embrace this new digital era, this new digital transformation, which is what a lot of enterprises are doing now, going to be huge, and it's interesting to see I want to see how Nintendo tries to approach this. Do they even bother, or do they just do what they're doing, just partner with Microsoft like they've done with the Fortnite stuff, etc.?
Yeah,
they're gonna still maybe they'll allow other services to be in the system, but them actually doing it, I don't see that.
It's the same as Sony, where I don't think they'll have the infrastructure in place. Because think about it. Here's the other thing that you have to get in, and Pete, you appreciate this from a business standpoint. We're already living this on a business side, on the IT mm-hmm. side. Because think about it. The one thing Satya Nadella did when he came into Microsoft, he turned Microsoft from a company that created software, operating systems, Office, things like that, into a cloud company. Mm-hmm. Their main goal now is, as a cloud company, is serving you Azure. That's what they do. And my dog even agrees. He's letting you know. He's like Azure. Oh,
yeah, I agree.
But that was the start of all of this. They are a cloud company, and he's made it so that they can actually serve these type of things. That's why in 2013, Xbox One, power of the cloud, they were touting all that stuff. We're actually seeing the maturation of that now to where Microsoft is. Because trust me, on the security side, I've been working with Microsoft here over the last month because they are pushing Azure into our environment hard. And they're showing us stuff to where we're kind of like, why are we doing this on-prem? Why are we not putting this in the cloud? You know, and not to get too much into that, but I know you can appreciate that, Pete. But the point is, like I even said to Danny about the Gears 5 thing, that's your Trojan horse to get people to actually try it out. Here's the brand new Gears of War 5 game. Project Cloud is now is now out of beta and is 1.0 alongside Gears of War 5. Not to mention, if you're a Game Pass subscriber, play all the old Gears of War games too via the cloud. Play the old Halo games. Play this. Play Sunset Overdrive if you're crazy enough. You know, you can do whatever you want. But that's the point.
People will play it. Now, Paris, in a year later, Halo.
And I'm telling you, and that launches with the console. That launches with the hardware. Yep. And look, we don't know any details yet. This is pure speculation on my part. That next Halo is an open world game. It is going to be a hybrid of what we currently see with the Division and Destiny and things like that, along with the Halo universe, open world, get in there with your buddies, go in there in that world, do whatever you want. Now, I can be at home on my Scarlet playing. Danny can be on his freaking iPad. Pete can be on his Surface, and we're all playing together. Anywhere in the world, it's going to be the craziest thing ever. I'm telling you, that's the future. Yep. That's the future.
Yo, and this is perfect for those that doesn't have the funds to buy a console. Maybe they have a great internet speed, right? Or forget that. Maybe they only have 4G, because what I read is you could play these games 4G speed minimum.
Well,
That's crazy.
Well, here's the other thing with that. That a couple things because you know the Xbox Mafia has been losing their minds on Twitter about this because they're touting it as the greatest thing ever. And which, hey, look, it's fantastic, but look, it's not the greatest thing ever for a couple reasons. It's not, you're not streaming. Yeah. People are legitimately thinking you're going to stream this in 4K. That is not happening.
No,
you're not streaming this in 4K. 1080p if you're lucky, right? 720p probably is going to be what most people are going to be able to do. I think the biggest thing that Microsoft has to get across is the price, because it's not going to be free. And for anyone, because the big thing they were touting in their video is, you know, they want to get people that have never played a Microsoft game before, never played Halo, never played Gears. They want to get them in their ecosystem and start trying this stuff out. The biggest barrier to entry in that is going to be, how much is this going to cost? Like I gave the bundle scenario. Okay, I don't buy the bundle. How much is it going to cost me to just get the cloud service? Let's say I want to just buy my games one at a time, $60 a piece. How much every month am I going to have to give Microsoft to have that cloud service? If it's more than $5 a month, it's a failure, in my opinion. Can't be any more than that, in my opinion.
Now, Paris, and I think this is the conversation that we're having offline. What if this is part of Game Pass? At XO, they'll say you could play this using your Game Pass, like to promote Game Pass. It's not even, you don't even have to buy the console. You subscribe to Game Pass and you're allowed to be part of the service.
If
you
think
that's possible,
if they can get away with $10 a month and just cloud is a part of Game Pass, why wouldn't you get Game Pass? I already think Game Pass. Look, let me backtrack. There were people on Twitter that were at me saying that Game Pass was overpriced right now and that they wouldn't get it. It cost too much. They need to lower the price. And I'm like, I'm not responding to this because that is the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Crazy talk.
It's $10 a month. I think even as we sit here today, there is so much value in that $10 a month. Imagine what it's going to be 2 years from now. When you start adding even more games, more third-party companies start coming on board. So if they were to bundle the cloud into that as well for $10 a month, it's a freaking steal. It really is. Because now you're telling me, like I said, I already have it. So you're telling me that in 2019, next year, I don't have to pay a dime and I can pull up my iPad and I can play Forza Horizon 4 anywhere. That's what you're telling me for nothing, because I'm already a subscriber. And again, let's not get this twisted. Microsoft is getting away from the traditional spend $60 on every game thing. They want you to commit to them every month to give them $10 a month, because that's what Netflix is doing. That's what Hulu's doing. Subscription models, Spotify, et cetera, Apple Music. That's the future, is subscription, not spending $60 a month on games, because at that point, who cares about review scores anymore? That goes away, right? Doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter if a game's good or not. You're getting it anyways. It doesn't matter. Now you can go try it whenever you want. A game comes out, is buggy and has issues. You don't feel like you just wasted $60. You can now wait a couple months until the developer actually fixes it and gets it right. Let's just take this as an example. The Division. I mean, I know this is a Microsoft game. Division came out 2016. It was a freaking buggy mess. Didn't have the content it needed. People didn't like it. We see it now with the 1.0 update. It's freaking great. People love it, right? Well, guess what? If it's a Game Pass game and that happens, all right, well, screw it. I won't play it till they get it right. Now it's right. Okay, I'm in. I didn't spend a dime because I'm already committed into their ecosystem with the subscription. And in the meantime, I'm playing the other games that they got that actually are good and are fine. It's the future, dude. It absolutely is. And I cannot believe people have been listening to this podcast since I've been on here since 2013. I'm just... You cut me open. I'm just bleeding emerald all over the place. It's just a green mess everywhere. Because I love this. I personally do. I absolutely love it. And it goes back to the conversation we were having last week. That look, Sony may not be able to compete with the cloud streaming, but there's other things they can do in 2020 to make sure that PlayStation 5 is still a viable option. And at the end of the day, we're the ones that win. And that's all that matters. We win. Because as long as we got options, these companies are competing. Now Sony's like, oh, crap, what are we going to do? We got to compete with this. Because like we've been saying here for the last few months, Microsoft has been systematically gearing up for 2020. We're watching it right now. We're watching it in real time. When 2020 hits and Phil gets on that stage in June of 2020 for E3, guns blazing. They're going to have so much stuff. We're going to walk out of that thing going, oh my God, Microsoft is not playing. It is not a game. Watch. And
I'm telling you. The crazy part about all of that is the hardware isn't going to be the major focus.
Nope, it's not.
It's just going to be an add-on onto everything else.
Yep.
By that time. And so that's the insane part. Everybody's always gets all their panties in a bunch because of a platform preference. At that point, it's no longer a platform at any point in service. You know, it's software as a service. It's games as a service as opposed to, you know, a physical piece of plastic that you work on. And so at that point, I think it's fantastic because then Twitter becomes a lot quieter because there's no more, you know, there's no more Sony versus Microsoft at this point. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be good, man.
No, it is.
All right, so let us know what your thoughts. Let us know your thoughts, guys. Hit us up. This was a great, great conversation. Holy crap. I have a couple of things I want to show you before we wrap this up here. Ubisoft just sent me Starlink. I don't know if you've seen the picture. It's a lot of goodies that they sent me. But the one that I'm very excited about is Star Fox, man. Let me get Fox McCloud here. You see it? Or no?
Yep.
You guys see it?
Yeah, we see it.
All right. Now, Pete, I know you played this already a couple times. Oh, it was at E3, also at the Gamescom preview event.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, so if I have another character and I put him here, right, and I use this ship, well, that character will be controlling this ship?
Absolutely. So you can interchange all of your pilots, ships, and weapons in real time in the game. So every pilot has his own unique abilities and skills when you're fighting. So I think there's Callisto, Haka, Mason, Judge, Shade, Fox, Razor, Levi, Carl, and Eli. Each and every one of those pilots all have their own special abilities as a pilot, as does each of those ships. The cool thing is you can take the wings off of that R-wing, put the wings from a different ship on top of it. So just the only thing is you won't have the ability to do like the barrel rolls and stuff like that. You'll be able, but you'll take advantage of other things. You can fit wings on top of wings. You can, and each of those weapons, blue is ice, red is fire, and then purple is void. So depending on the enemies that you encounter in the game, some of them will have, I don't want to say preference, but some of them will be more susceptible to heat damage, more susceptible to fire, to ice damage, more susceptible to void damage. So going in, you can have all of your weapons or your ship types and stuff like that laid out in front of you, and you can swap them in real time to accommodate the, you know, whatever you're dealing with in real time. If you're going in and you know it's going to be a lot of ads on the ground and not a lot of big enemies, you can swap to like the Ghost, I think is the name of the ship, which is the real big round one. And it's slower, but it's more of a DPS tank. So you can go in there and just lay waste to the environment. If you see that there's a lot of, you know, large scale enemies that you think being in a quicker ship might do you better, then yeah, maybe you want to jump into the R-Wing, take advantage of the charge shot, which you can only do on the Nintendo Switch with Fox McCloud. You can't use that on like Xbox or PlayStation.
That's cool, man. And yeah, right here you put under the ship, you put your controllers here from the Switch.
Yep.
And just play like that. Now, my question to you, Pete, let's say I can't buy the ship. Buy the whole package and everything, and I just download the game, only the game, through the eShop. Is that possible or not really? You have to buy these ships.
I believe you can buy them digitally. The issue is, obviously, you won't be able to do the physical. You'll literally have to go into a menu and swap out whatever components you want to change out, right? You won't have access to the physical component to be able to swap on the fly. But as we had mentioned in a previous discussion, we had a great interview with Matthew Rose about this a couple of weeks ago. You can actually take – I can come to your house and drop off like my characters, play on your Switch. You'll have them for a 7-day period, And so you can check them out and decide, okay, well, damn, I really liked his nullifier, or I liked his iron fist weapon. I want those. So let me go out and get them. And you can go out and get them on your own, but you have them for 7 days to kind of test and play around with.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. Yep. Paris, you're excited too, man? Because I know you got your pack of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. While you were talking, I just to break in the fourth wall of Twitch, I was showing off, I got the Star Fox, the Switch version. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited so to be able to play.
There's something that just dropped about 10, 15 minutes ago. That day one update is going to be a 6 gig update. I don't know how huge for some people that's going to be. Really think about it. The starter price for $75 is kind of steep. And I know a lot of people have, you know, for $75, especially on a Nintendo Switch game, that's not something that you would expect. But considering you get, you know, real time value out of little components that you can swap in and out in real time, I think it's cool. But a 6 gig day one update for the Switch, because it's only for the Switch that you have the day one update. I believe that's more for this Fox McCloud stuff, but I don't know if it affects other other platforms. But I just found that on my feed, so I figured I'd bring that out since we're talking about Starlink.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be talking about this in the future episode of Gamer Tag Radio and stuff. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm very, very excited. Pete, I hope you get yours tomorrow or soon.
I hope so. I hope I get it soon. I'm looking forward to it, man. It's been...
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here.
Wow, he just cut you off. He was like, we don't care much. And he was like, we're moving on.
Hey, man, I have a very early flight tomorrow. So
not my problem.
Yeah, that is not our problem. Leave the bye.
Hey, I have to edit this, man.
It's your problem.
Edit this. You gonna edit it? Are you guys gonna edit it?
No, it's your problem. You do it on airplane, bro.
Crickets. Yeah. See, crickets. Crickets. What? What are you gonna say? Paris secrets?
You want me to edit it? I'll edit it. I ain't scared of you. No, don't threaten me on the podcast. I'll do it. OG podcasting from back in the day. Don't think I can edit it. I can do it.
Keep drinking that wine. You're gonna be editing.
Yeah. He's gonna be putting. He's going to be erasing all our parts and just leaving his.
Exactly.
That's it.
and I'm going to interrupt you again. Another thing I'm excited about. So Pete and I, since you won't be on the next episode, we'll discuss PC version of Call of Duty Black Ops 4, that blackout mode. I can't wait. Friday. I'm going to be playing it.
Yep.
Looking forward to that.
Looking forward to it.
Digital Foundry actually has a excellent video with some of the devs from Treyarch. Just talking about it, and they even got in depth on the PC version, but just overall Black Ops 4. I mean, you know, you and I went to that event back in May. I didn't come away from it like super excited. And I tell you, even as late as a month ago, I was not excited about this game, but I'm excited about Blackout. Blackout is going to be a game changer for the whole Battle Royale thing. It's not going to compete with Fortnite. No one expects it to, but it's going to be its own thing. And I'm excited for it. I really am.
What platform are you getting it on?
PC, baby.
Yeah.
It's that's where I requested a review code. I want to review it on PC.
Nice.
So you guys have to use the Battle.net, right?
Yeah, it's Battle.net. Yeah, it'll be Battle.net.
Battle.net.
Which is fine. I mean, Destiny 2 is on Battle.net. It's been fine. No issues.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, definitely can't wait to try out also Blackout and Zombies. Zombies looks good, man. They showed the trailer today. It looks really good. Really good. So, for those that were complaining about story, that's the only story you'll get for this game. So, all right. So, we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also, you go find us on different podcast directories. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. We're going to be out. And until next time, I'm not going to be here for the next episode. P and Paris are going to take over. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.